Our gospel lesson is a continuation from Mark, the 10th chapter. And this is the story of the rich man, sometimes referred to as the rich young man. But nowhere in this text does it say that he's young, but everybody assumes so. I don't know. That's grist for another mill. Let's listen now for the good news from Mark, the 10th chapter. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." May we be blessed in the hearing of good news. One of the better church advertising campaigns that I've seen, and I know I might get in trouble for saying this, it's being done by the United Church of Christ. The campaign is titled, "God is Still Speaking." And the campaign is based around a quote from one of the greatest comedians of the 20th century, Gracie Allen. I know I'm showing my age. I love Gracie. And Gracie Allen once said, "Never place a period where God has placed a comma." So naturally, the symbol for the campaign is a comma. I think it's a great idea to stress that God is still speaking. I kind of wish they would have used John Robinson's, "God, the Lord hath yet more light and truth to break forth out of his holy word." But, you know, you can't get everything. I mean, there's a certain amount of zip to Gracie that old John doesn't have. But I think it's a great idea to stress that God is still speaking, because so many people think that Christian faith is a dead letter. If people thought that our faith was relevant, if what we're about is relevant, this church would be full, not half empty. I remember when I was getting ready, and I think I know why, I was getting ready to enter religious life, and I had to take a battery of psychological tests, one of which was the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. Ever have to take that test? That's the most boring thing I've ever been through in my life. And it has the questions, "Do you talk to God, and does God talk to you on more than one occasion and in strange places?" And when it came time afterward to talk to the psychologist, I asked her about it. And she smiled and she looked at me and said, "Well, sir, we just discount those questions for you people." As I've looked at the readings for today and our concern for listening for a time like this, I'm led to conclude that God is indeed still speaking, but that most people who want to say to those who are listening for God, for people just like you, they simply aren't listening. Preparing for this week caused me to go back and to look at some texts on human communication, all of which have a component on listening. Blaine Gost, a scholar in the field of communication psychology, wrote this: "In oral communication, listening is your main way of taking in information. How effectively you listen can determine what information you have available to store and retrieve." And get this line: "Any breakdowns in listening can cause future shortcomings in recall." I'm sure you can recall your Speech Communication 101 class and the little chart on how communication works. An S, sender, sends an M message to an R, receiver. Now, all of us are pretty good at the sending part. But how many of us really work on practicing the R part, on our listening skills? Well, perhaps a little humor might help us to think about it. Here are three quotes from that great writer, Anonymous. Conversation. Oh, you'll get it later. Conversation. This one's good. Conversation. A vocal competition in which the one who is catching his breath is called the listener. One of my favorites. History repeats itself because no one listens the first time. And the one that hits home for any guy: "My wife says I never listened to her. At least I think that's what she said." My final stab at humor is from the delightful Douglas Adams book, A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. "You know, it's at times like this when I'm trapped in a Vogon airlock with a man from Beetlejuice and about to die of asphyxiation in deep space that I really wish I'd listened to what my mother told me when I was young." "Oh, what did she tell you?" "I don't know. I didn't listen." Each of those attempts at humor remind us just how important it is for us to learn how to listen and then how to practice our listening skills. If this is true in our everyday lives, then it is even truer for our spiritual lives. You see, the UCC campaign is absolutely correct. God is still speaking. In fact, God has never stopped speaking to us. And that's the whole point of Christian faith. When we come into relationship with God in Jesus Christ, we enter into a conversation that is ongoing. Unfortunately, as I've said, most of us aren't having a dialogue, a conversation with God. We're stuck in monologue mode, and sometimes, unfortunately, perhaps even diatribe mode. God is still speaking. Well, I can just hear it out there in every head. Well, if God is still speaking, why haven't I heard God speak lately? Good question. So how does God speak to us? The word we use for God's self-communication with us is revelation, the divine self-disclosure. We understand that God reveals God's self in many different ways, beginning with the world in which we live, natural revelation. But let me illustrate with yet another piece by Anonymous. "The little child whispered, 'God, speak to me,' and a meadowlark sang, but the child did not hear. So the child yelled, 'God, speak to me,' and the thunder rolled across the sky, but the child did not listen. The child looked around and said, 'God, let me see you,' and a star shone brightly, but the child did not notice. And the child shouted, 'God, show me a miracle,' and a life was born, but the child did not know. So the child cried out in despair, 'Touch me, God, and let me know that you are here.' Whereupon God reached down and touched the child. The child brushed the butterfly away and walked away unknowingly." Take time to listen. Oftentimes, the things we seek are right underneath our noses. Don't miss out on your blessing because it isn't packaged the way you expect. I know the moral sounds like one of those things you get on a mass email, but it's still true. God is still speaking if we are open to listen. Last week, we read the verse from the letter to the Hebrews that says, "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds." What we hear is that God communicates in various ways, but now speaks through the person of God's Son, Jesus. This week we read, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Now, some will look at this verse and think about the Bible. But the author is still speaking about the person of the Son. Jesus is the living Word of God, the Word that God spoke into our world and continues to speak to us. God speaks to us through the Son. Where do we come into contact with the Son? Here, in the assembly that continues to make the Son present, His body, the Church. We can hear the Lord still speaking here in the Word preached, in the sacraments administered, and in the gathered community of faith. To be excruciatingly correct, we really should say that the Bible is not the Word of God, but that it contains the Word of God, since it then becomes the vehicle by which God speaks to us. However we designate it, the Bible remains the primary source, along with prayer, for our communication with God. And thus we should be sure to spend time with it, because there we will meet God, who has identified with us so strongly and loves us so intensely. This is why Jesus is described as a high priest who sympathizes with us, one who has been tested as we are. Perhaps that is why Jesus could look with love on that man who ran up to him, seeking the answer to eternal life. Jesus tested him and his motives and saw that he was sincere. So he gave him the answer that he sought. "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Remember how the story goes? When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Listen to what the great teacher of the early church, John Chrysostom, had to say. "The young man had up to then shown an uncommon eagerness. He was like a lover. Whereas others approached Christ to test him or to tell him of their diseases, those of their parents or of still other people, he comes near Jesus to speak of eternal life. The soil was rich and fertile, but it was full of brambles ready to choke the seeds. Our young man left, eyes downcast for sadness, a notable sign that he had not come with a bad disposition. But he was too weak. He desired life, but a passion difficult to overcome was holding him back. Something was in the way of that man's being able to communicate with God and to attain the life that he so desired, that he so hungered for." Remember back when we talked about communication theory, the SMR model? Well, we should also remember that eventually they added an F in there for feedback, and then they added an N to the model for noise. When we listen, we're always being selective as to what we're paying attention to and what we're not paying attention to. Some of you, I would bet, have tuned me out and you're thinking about something else right at this very moment. "Oh, it's okay. I'm used to it." But as this communication scholar Goss says, and I'm quoting, "Apparently the key to listening is not so much focusing the attention on the desired message as it is the successful rejection of similar and distracting messages. Good listening calls for the rejection of unwanted distractions." The noise, the unwanted distractions that were in that man's life were his possessions. And he couldn't really listen because he wouldn't reject them. I don't think he realized that in reality he no longer had those things. No, the truth was that they had him. That is why Jesus said, "Get rid of them and come, follow me." We can have things. Things aren't bad in themselves. However, things can't have us and be the source of distraction from what is really to be most central in our lives, communion, communication with the living God, who is our source, who is our ground of being. Listening, especially listening to God, calls us to be focused and attentive. If we learn to come to this recollection, what the Eastern world calls mindfulness, we will soon see and hear God all around us. As a consequence of our growth as a listening presence, we will also become far more sensitive in our communication with other people. I came across something which I think illustrates my point. Anthony Hopkins, the famous actor, described his first meeting with Sir Laurence Olivier, and he described it in this way. He came forward to shake my hand, and I gave him my name. He gave me his full attention. This was an ability of his, to give his full, undivided attention to the moment, as if there were no past or future. Even in his ordinariness, there was the one particular quality of concentration. This is what set him apart as an extraordinary human being. He never dismissed anything. He never disregarded anything. Everything held his attention. I read that, and I thought back on the people I have considered to be great persons of prayer, some even perhaps holy. And that is what I recall, that attention. Great communicators with God are most often great communicators with those made in God's image and likeness. That focus on the present moment, that attention, is what we are to cultivate as a habit of being, so that we're perpetually in God's presence, so that presence is then communicated to others through us. So God is still speaking. And you and I, the church, we're among the instruments the Lord uses to communicate. Our task, then, is to cultivate this habit of listening with more than just our ears, but with our hearts, so that we can hear God speaking to us and through us. The best way to do this is to spend time with Scripture. Don't just read it to read it or read it to get through it. Read it as though you were reading a love letter. Savor it. Consider it. Let it become part of you. I was trained in and am an advocate of a method of prayer traditionally called Lectio Divina, holy reading. It's a very ancient method of prayer which uses the Bible as its starting point, although you can use other texts and you can even use our human experiences too. It begins with a very slow, deliberate reading of a few verses of Scripture until something strikes us. This is lectio, reading. Once we've found that passage or even a word that seems to be just for us at that moment, we take some time to ruminate on it, to chew it over, allowing it to interact with our thoughts and our hopes and our dreams, even our fears. This is meditatio, meditation. Out of our interaction with the Scripture, we enter into conversation, with dialogue with God, allowing the word we've taken into ourselves to touch us, to comfort us, and to even change us. Here we take our sorrows and our joys to God as we listen deeply with the ears of our hearts for God's leading. This is oratio, prayer. Finally, we just open ourselves. We just open ourselves to accept God's loving embrace. We sit and we bask in the presence of the God who loves and cares and sustains and keeps us. And in that moment, you no longer need words. It's just enough to be there, to gaze lovingly on the one who made us and delights in us. This is contemplatio, contemplation. This method has been practiced for years in many different forms. Our Puritan ancestors certainly did because you can see it. You can see it underneath all of their preaching and all of their writing. They delighted in the God who delighted in them, as should we. God is still speaking, dear ones. If we have the ears of our hearts open to hear what God is saying to us, we live in an age where distractions abound. There is a great amount of noise going on all the time. It would be so much easier if God just took out an ad in the Journal Sentinel. Like when God took out those neat billboards not long ago. You know the ones I saw. I'm talking about, how about coming over to my house before the game? God. Or maybe if he took some time on television and displaced some of those horrid reality shows. However, that's not how God has chosen to speak. The still small voice Elijah heard spoke in human flesh in Palestine and speaks to us through word, through sacrament, through each other. God is still speaking. We just have to cultivate a habit of listening that doesn't end with us saying, "Huh? Think about it."